Some years ago, Monsignor Pat Sheridan and I made a private retreat in the Catskill Mountains. We borrowed a friend's house up there, and we took along a tape retreat for priests given by Bishop Fulton Sheen of happy memory. We did a lot of listening because there were, I think, 18 tapes, and we had less than 5 days. That retreat made an indelible mark on both of us. It focused on one simple point. Over and over, the bishop said, "If as a result of this retreat you do not make a daily holy hour before the Blessed Sacrament for the rest of your life, then the retreat is a failure, and you would be better off not to make it." In the end, we both resolved to make that daily holy hour, and we agree many years later that it was one of the best decisions we ever made, that the grace and the gift of prayer that you get from spending an hour each day before the Blessed Sacrament is worth far more than any sacrifice the practice entails. Now, obviously, I am no Fulton Sheen, but I want to try something similar on this retreat. All the conferences will be on St. Thérèse of Lisieux, known as the Little Flower of Jesus. And their sole single purpose will be to persuade you to make Thérèse a lifelong companion. If I succeed, I am convinced God will be using me to enrich your life immensely. Thérèse goes back in my own life to 1941 when I started in Dunwoody Seminary. A philosophy professor named Father John Middleton, who was completely sold on A Little Flower, got me to read her autobiography. And I was off on a lifetime search to discover and understand Thérèse. I can never thank John Middleton enough. Should one let himself be so taken up with a saint? I say yes, he should. If that saint strongly collides against his life and impresses him profoundly, if she strikes him as truly original and speaks to his deepest self, if she seems to be reading his mail, and to know the things that really concern him, if there is obviously a deep sympathy between their two souls, even though he knows perfectly well that in a million years he could never match her achievement, if she gives him, maybe for the first time in his life in a serious way, the deep conviction that he can please God in spite of all his sins and failures and incredible weakness, if she makes him say, "Yes, I am a serious person. God takes me seriously. And he is calling me to holiness. And I don't have to be afraid." If she encourages him and defends him against himself and loves him and approves of him and is not turned off by his mediocrity and won't let him give in to his sense of failure, if she does all this for him, then I say he is not foolish to give her a lot of time. Read everything she has written and everything written about her that he finds worthwhile. Even bother to learn French in his old age, to get at good material that is not yet translated. Scripture tells us that a good friend is a treasure beyond price. And if we can make friends with a great saint, we shall travel in the best of company. Show me your company, and I'll tell you who you are. I dare to believe that I have found such a saint and such a friend in St. Thérèse. I dare to call her a friend and hope it does not embarrass her. and I would like her to be a friend to you. I am anxious for you to know that Thérèse of Lisieux is no run-of-the-mill saint. She has engaged the attention of a wide variety of people, sometimes people you would never expect, like Jack Kerouac, who used to be the king of the hippies, and Edith Piaf, the famous French nightclub and stage singer, who loved Thérèse from her childhood, and Dorothy Day, whose conversion from communism to Catholicism she was responsible for, and who wrote a marvelous biography called Thérèse in 1968. And a fellow named Jack Fesch, who died by the guillotine in 1957 for killing a Paris policeman in a bank holdup. During 3.5 years of solitary confinement, he turned from a very selfish man into a real saint. Shortly before he died, he said, "I am the good thief." And he took to himself the words of Jesus, "No one takes my life from me. I lay it down of my own accord." Thus did he climb the scaffold. On the eve of his execution, he wrote to a friend in his last letter, "In 5 hours, I shall see Jesus." Thérèse was directly instrumental in that man's conversion. Significantly, he was executed on September 30th, 1957, which didn't just happen to be the 60th anniversary of Thérèse's own death. He read her autobiography in the silence of his lonely cell. How much he loved her, and how much she loved him. She was there with him at the scaffold. What I want you to know is that Thérèse is no small potatoes. Dorothy Day called her the greatest saint of modern times. Scores of first-class theologians have written serious studies on her. 900 biographies of her have been published in 90 years. Von Balthasar's fine book, The Story of a Mission, compares her to St. Paul and points out that just as Paul of Tarsus was given a mission by God to preach the gospel to the Gentiles of the first century, so Thérèse of Lisieux was raised up to proclaim to the anxious modern world the reassuring message of God's merciful love, to convince the worst of us and the best of us that God is absolute love and loves us absolutely, not in spite of our wretchedness, but because of it. Is there anything we more urgently need to know? Her autobiography has been translated into every major language. She is known everywhere. She is the only Western saint besides St. Francis of Assisi who is loved and revered in Russia. How did she ever get through the Iron Curtain? I'm not asking you to give a lot of time to an ordinary saint, like St. Elizabeth Ann Seton or St. John Neumann, not to take anything away from those splendid servants of God, but they were not pioneers of the Spirit, breakers of new ground. Thérèse was. She ranks with John of the Cross, Teresa of Avila, Augustine. She is the mother foundress of a whole new school of mysticism, a mysticism which ordinary people recognize immediately is open to them, completely within their reach. What Dorothy Day called her is important, the greatest saint of modern times. She is for our time, our 20th century, which is riddled with anxiety. She does not belong to the past, but to the present. She died in 1897 when she was only 24 years old. Had she lived to be 90, as two of her own sisters did, she would have died in 1963. In the pontificate of Pope John the 23rd, while the Second Vatican Council was in progress, there was a difference of only 6 years in age between her and Father Teilhard de Chardin. She lived in the time of Sigmund Freud, Albert Einstein, Charles Darwin, and countless others whose names are identified with the making of the modern world. She was a pioneer, too, in the world of modern mysticism. She was deeply interested in science. For the last 18 months of her life, she was plunged into a trial of faith which left her in total darkness. All the while, she was wasting away painfully with tuberculosis. She had no felt faith at all. What tormented her was the specifically modern temptation that someday science will explain everything and there will be no more need for God. When this life is over, there is nothing, absolutely nothing. That temptation was like a serpent hissing in her ear. It tormented her. The thought that this God, whom she so loved, was only a figment of her imagination. She was tempted to suicide and speaks of it. The miracle is not just that she kept her faith, she kept her joy. She laughed her infectious laugh and said about God, "He's hiding from me. He's hiding from me." She knew well the God in whom she believed, but her faith was hard won and terribly costly. Oh, my friends, it was terribly costly. She was driven to the brink of despair. Characteristic of modern Catholicism is a return to Holy Scripture in the piety of people. Thérèse was far ahead of her time. After a while, she abandoned almost all other spiritual reading except Scripture. She was nourished by certain classics like the Imitation of Christ and the works of St. John of the Cross, but in the end, it was the Gospels to which she gave her time. The Gospels, and notably also the Psalms, the Canticle of Canticles, the suffering servant sections of Isaiah the prophet, and very particularly St. Paul's letter to the Romans, because she pondered so deeply the problem he pondered, the problem of faith and works. On this subject, she said some very daring things. More daring, perhaps, than anything Martin Luther ever said. She would have been great friends with Luther, I think. But I also think she would have kept him in the church. She herself was right in the mainstream of Catholic tradition. and could no more leave the church than she could cut off her own head. Not that she was blind to the church's faults. On her trip to Rome with her father, she was shocked by some of the clerical behavior she observed, and she wasn't afraid to say so, even at the age of 15. But the misconduct of priests did not shake her faith. It only made her pray for them all the harder. Nor did anything she witnessed make her lose her sense of humor. Pope Leo XIII, to whom she spoke in her audience, asking if she might have permission to enter Carmel at 15, was a frail old man when she met him. She wrote home to her sister Pauline, he was so old, you would think he was dead. She seemed to read the Bible almost with inerrancy. It spoke to her personally, and she knew what it meant. Someone said of Thérèse, she understood the Bible because she believed it. She especially loved the Canticle of Canticles, that brief series of poems which some consider the Bible's greatest book. Even though it does not mention the name of God at all. She saw what the ancient church fathers saw and all the great mystics have seen, that the Song of Songs, the Canticle of Canticles, is the ultimate expression of God's incredible love for Israel, for the church, for the Holy Virgin Mary preeminently, and for each person whom God has made. It is God's love letter to us. The love of that God who is indeed absolute love and who loves us absolutely and keeps his covenant forever in spite of all our infidelities. Well, in this first talk, I've tried my best to establish Thérèse's credentials with you, and I hope I have succeeded. In the talks which follow, I hope to develop certain fundamental themes of Thérèse's spirituality. I have nothing terribly startling to say. What is new under the sun? I will try to explain the best I can her theology of the spiritual life, if we may call it that. My hope is simply to introduce you to her. Nothing magic will happen in these talks. But at the end, I'll give you a reading list for the future. Books which can feed your mind and your heart for years and years to come. I obviously cannot make you love Thérèse, but if you do not yet know her, I can introduce you to her. Then it will be up to you. No, it will be up to her. Through a long acquaintance to develop the friendship. I'm sure you'll find her very congenial. She is just waiting to make friends with you.